This is the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, the only local sports talk show in the Mid-Willamette Valley. Now, here's Hunter Newton and Mike Elliger on 1430 KYKN.
Happy Friday afternoon. Welcome to the Sports Ticket at our normal time. Me and Mike Elliger out here today.
Is there an abnormal time?
There is some abnormal times, you know, because we got to kind of go with that Mariner schedule.
That's right. And we're not at 3 o'clock today.
That's right. And since they've moved back home after a very, let's say, up and down road trip.
Yeah. High scoring affair.
That's well for one team, not the Mariners. This segment being brought to you by Mercedes Sprinter Van of Salem. And yeah, they were that 3-game set against Milwaukee. What a record setting kind of a start to it with a 22-0 blowout.
Bad game, bad everything. Yeah. And the next night they come out and turn things around and get a win. Last night they didn't get the win. Now they're home against my Cubbies.
The Cubbies.
I got 3 teams that I love, and the Cubbies are number one, and they're playing some good ball.
Well, you know, a few weeks ago we had Jeff call in from Chicago.
I knew, yeah.
Attending a Cubby game out there. But they get the Cubs at home for the next 3 games. Matthew Boyd pitching for the Cubs tonight.
Former Oregon State Beaver.
That's right. Emerson Hancock is going for the Mariners. And if there is ever a time where you could say must win for the Mariners, I think we've reached that point.
I mean, you cannot lose many games. If you want to be the last wild card next month, There can be no more. There's got to be a whole lot more wins, and you're going to have to sneak in, because if you don't, I think Dan Wilson's gone day one after the season is over.
Well, and the craziest part about what we're looking at, especially in the American League, is you go to the East and you got Tampa Bay, New York, and Boston all playing better than 500 ball.
Oh, yeah.
You go to the Central, you've got the Chicago White Sox playing 500 in better ball. And then you come to the West and Houston is at 500. So realistically, the AL West is still in play for the Mariners, but unfortunately they have a very tough road ahead the rest of this month, because they get the Cubs at home, then they get the Phillies at home. Then we got to go up to Toronto for 3, and then to Boston to finish out the month. But if they can get through this, And in a decent situation, in a decent standing, the month of September gets a lot easier for the Mariners.
That's the thing that people don't realize, that in September, the schedule has mellowed out at least a little.
Well, you get the A's at home. After you finish up the series in Boston, you come home to face the A's for 4 games, and then the Rangers, who is the one team between you and Houston in the AL West. And then you go down to Sacramento for 3 against the A's, and then you get the lowly Angels of Anaheim in Anaheim for 3, and then Colorado, the bottom of the barrel in the National League West, and then you get a 2-game series back at home with the Astros, which could be the determining factor in the West.
Especially when the Astros, but you got to remember, the AL West for years, even before it added Houston, was always the one team, one or two teams above 500, one or around 500, and one or two below 500, and every one of them had a chance for the division. So It's not anything different.
Yeah, and then you finish off the season at home with 4 against the Angels. So I'm going, it is winnable. Even with as bad as things have been going this month, the AL West is winnable for the Mariners. They just need to do well enough for the next week and a half of August to still be in contention, because you're playing some of the best teams in baseball. You know, you played Milwaukee, lost 2 out of 3 there, and now you've got the Cubs, who are sitting atop in second place in the Central behind those Brewers.
Yeah, and that's got to be one of the toughest divisions right now, and certainly in the National League. One of the things not going for Seattle, as of now, they are 27-29. Are 27-39 on the road. They cannot win on the road. And when they do, it's rare. And if it's more than one in a row, that was earlier in the season. They're 33-29 at home. Let's win at home. Let's win a lot.
Well, when you're talking about Milwaukee and Chicago in the National League Central, St. Louis is 13.5 games out of first place in the Central in the National League. But if you were to take those Cardinals and you were to move them into the AL West, they would be the first place team. If you move them into the AL Central, they would be 1 game behind the White Sox. And I just go, if that tells you how good Chicago and Milwaukee are playing, That's right there, because you have a team that's a couple of games above 500 that is 13 and a half games out of
place. One of those two teams, in my opinion, will play in the World Series this year. It's not going to be Philadelphia. It's not going to be the Dodgers. The Dodgers, I think, will get into the National League Finals, but I don't think they'll be in the World Series.
So you think it's going to come down to the Dodgers against either Milwaukee or Chicago?
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah.
I really do. The way they're playing right now, especially Chicago, but either one of those two. I mean, and I'm a Brewers fan because I used to be the Seattle Pilots.
Oh,
so
yeah.
There's that little
there's
link.
That little.
And then there's Bob Uecker. I love Bob, oh, so I'm kind of a Brewers fan there. And, of course, Robin Yount and I share a birthday.
Well, and I think you modeled your whole career off of Bob Uecker.
Well, right? You know I did. And Sepik, he went big time, and I didn't.
Well, so. you did a casting call for a Major League, right?
I did.
Down to you and Bob. And
I did. They wouldn't even let me be a bad boy. I tried.
Yeah, you tried to get in on that one. So, Mariners coming up after us tonight. We'll talk more Mariners later in the show. Yeah. But we also want to announce that a week from today, so next Friday, we will not have a official sports ticket show.
No.
And we're not going to air the Mariner game next Friday, because instead, you, me, Jeff, the tailgater crew, maybe Charlie McGuire, maybe a few special guest stars.
We're trying to get those special guest stars in right now.
Are going to be showing up at Turner Pizza starting at 5 p.m. till 7 p.m. for our 2026 football kickoff show.
That's right. It's going to be the first half of it, 5 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 hours, 5 to 7 at Turner Pizza and Tap House, right there on the main drag in Turner across from the fire department. You can't miss it. Looks like somebody drove a car into it.
Mm-hmm.
And you go inside there. The pizza's great. It's homemade. The people are friendly. Chad and Lucas and the team do a great job over there. They wanted us to come back because we've been there 2 years before. So we expanded it to two. So the first hour, Jeff's going to concentrate on the Ducks, the Big Ten in college football.
Yep.
And then the second hour, we're going to slide into local high school and talk a lot about the 6A teams. But also, I'm trying to get the state defending champion head coach at Cascade, which is Turner, Shane Hedrick, or someone from his staff to come in after one of their practices at 6 and join us live so we can talk Cougar football over there, the excitement at that 4A level, talk a little 5A, certainly talk about Salem-Keizer football as well. When our first game, we kick off on the 4th when we have Sheldon taking on West Salem over here across the bridge.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun, fun night. I would say come on out.
Oh, yeah.
See who we can get to show up, because I know that there's a few Duck representatives that are being courted to show up. We'll put it that way.
We are. Well, there's at least one, and they're tough to get out of there. We're not going to see Jerry Allen. We're not going to see Joey Mack because they have contracted things they have to be at. We're working on a couple guys. Let's just work at that. And also the sports writer for the Statesman Journal who writes for the high school, Landon's going to come in, and Landon Bartlett. He is a great wealth of information. Been on this show twice. And we hope to get Landon in there to talk high school ball as well. But we just want to see you all.
Yeah.
We want you to come over and experience great pizza, great service, nice hometown friend family situation at Turner Pizza. And the thing about Lucas, one of the co-owners with Chad, Lucas loves the Beavers, Chad loves the Ducks, so there's always that little dynamic, too.
Oh, so there's going to be a little animosity in the air.
Whatever.
Well, we have to let them know. We are contractually obligated as a Duck affiliate to concentrate our efforts there.
We'll talk about in fact, we're going to be talking about the Beavers later in the show. In fact, it's coming up in a couple of segments. Our friend Les Gareth, the sports editor for the Corvallis Gazette Times, he's coming up later in our show. We're going to talk to Les about OSU football camp right now, some of the things that have happened under new head coach Jamarcus Russell. They had a player arrested last week. We're going to find out the latest on that. What's the QB battle like, et cetera?
Yeah, so much going on in the world of sports, so much locally as football season is now officially underway. NFL training camps, college football training camps, and even the high school teams, they're doing their daily doubles starting week. So the world of football is coming at us hard and fast, and we are excited to be down at Turner Pizza and put out this show where Jeff and the Tailgater crew are going to talk Ducks. You, maybe Charlie, maybe me, who knows? Talking high school stuff. We are excited. It is going to be a ton of fun. Come on out next Friday to Turner Pizza. We will be broadcasting from 5 to 7. And they also are a tap house. So there are some brews there.
There's a lot of brews and microbrews. They've got 15 taps, plus they've got some of your favorite stuff in the bottle or the can that you might like. They've got energy drinks. They've also got the seltzers. And they make great handmade pizza and calzones. You got to come out and try the homemade pizza with the homemade dough. That'll be next Friday at Turner Pizza and Tap House.
Yeah, and we'll remind you of that one more time before we leave
the
airwaves today.
I'm going to get some pizza and talk with my mouth full later in the show. So.
There you go, just so you can get that experience over the airwaves. All right, you're listening to The Sports Ticket on 1430 KYKN. We'll be right back.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Hunter Newton and Mike Elliger on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket, this segment being brought to you by Domino's Pizza. And we should jump into some college football talk right now because it is now totally official. The Oregon Ducks, number two in preseason polls going into the season.
They're number two or three, depending on which one you're looking at. But the AP poll is as strong a poll as any of, in my opinion, for 20, 30 years. Ohio State one, Ducks two, Georgia three, Notre Dame four, and Texas five. Indiana down to number six. And I think to start the season, except for maybe Notre Dame being a little high, I don't know. I think those are pretty good numbers.
Well, I can agree with most of this looking through it. Of course, former Pac-12 teams, USC is at 14, Washington is at 17. And the only non-Power 4 conference in the top 25, SMU, is down at 19. So we'll kind of see as this season progresses. Because there's a reason they play the games, right? I always sit there and I go, you know, Indiana, I'm not overly surprised that they're where they're positioned.
No, not
they
at
lost
all.
Their quarterback to the Raiders. They lost their backup quarterback to the transfer portal.
Yep.
Both the Mendoza brothers are gone. So, right. You know, college football, especially in NFL and every level, the quarterback play is such a driver, especially when you're talking national rankings.
Which tells you about your top five teams right there with Dante Moore and on the number two team and that kid named Manning at number five, Texas. I forget who's at Notre Dame, but he's an outstanding quarterback. And one thing, guess who's not in the top 10? Alabama just started off their 13.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, I mean, Coach DeBoer is a good coach. But we've got one of his assistants running Oregon State now, and I'm kind of happy about that. But I'm not upset that Alabama's in the top 10. I kind of thought they were overrated last year.
Yeah, well, and to me, I sit here and I kind of go, you know, they lost three games last year, still made the playoffs,
yep.
And then got just, you know, knocked out of the way. And I just sit here and go, yeah, they're probably that 13th spot is kind of earned because mm-hmm. – For all the controversy of them kind of backdooring their way into the playoff picture, I can fit it. College football season, the games officially start on August 29th, that Saturday, so a week from tomorrow. And the only ranked team playing on that day is going to be USC, who is hosting San Jose State in their week one matchup. So... we'll see how San Jose State can handle being at the Trojans on Saturday. But, of course, there is, I think, a full slate of games across college football, everything from North Carolina at TCU, North Carolina State at Virginia, Jacksonville State at North Dakota State.
All the big names.
That's right. Hawaii at Stanford on that Saturday. New Mexico State at Florida State.
Well, Oregon State, and they're not next week. No, they're not till
later on. But you know, it's interesting because I'm going through that list and you go, Florida State's not in the top 25. Mm. Stanford's not in the top 25. TCU's not in the top 25. Those are teams that we're accustomed to seeing up there.
Well, of course, this is the preseason poll, and I'm going to be quite honest, in my opinion, the poll doesn't mean squat till the October anyway, because you got to see who's going to play their way out of the poll, and I'm going to bet three or four of these teams won't be in there in October.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think there's going to be a big jumbling. I mean, we saw the collapse of PSU a year ago, and so much changes as they play the games. An injury here or there can definitely determine a change in everything. So,
and I think Lincoln Riley down at USC is on the hot seat, and whether he wants to admit it or not, he's going to have to win, get to the playoffs, and beyond the first round if he wants to keep his job, because I just don't think he's going to be around next year. Nothing wrong with Lincoln. He's gotten everything mm-hmm. he's asked for. Better facility, better this, better that, but I just don't know. He doesn't quite And I don't care about USC, but.
Well, and of course, you said it, the Oregon State Beavers, they play their first game on Saturday, September 5th.
That's right.
And they're traveling to Houston. So they have a chance of being an early upset team if they can take that Houston team, which is currently ranked 23rd in preseason polls.
And Texas Tech is not ranked right there, are they?
Texas Tech is, I believe.
Okay. They will be the first home game on the 12th of September with the Beavers. So I know that that Texas Tech is not going to be banked as high. At least I didn't think they would be.
Well, Mike, should we jump out, take a break, and maybe talk a little more Beavers coming back on the other side?
Well, I think it's a good idea. And our friend Les Garrett is right on the phone ready to talk to us here in just a few moments. And we're going to be talking with Les about the Oregon State Beavers right now, the last second week of the college football camp. He's going to talk about the quarterback situation, the recent arrest, the new way that Jamarcus Russell does things, which is outstanding, I'm hearing. It's going to be exciting for the Beavs.
Yep. So you're listening to The Sports Ticket right here on 1430 KYKN.
The Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Hunter Newton and Mike Elliger continues on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket Friday afternoon. Hunter and Mike in the studio. This segment being brought to you by Color Tile of Salem. And I'm going to turn it over to you, Mike, because we've got a guest on the phone.
Well, he's been here before and he'll do it again. It's because we pay him the big bucks. He is the sports editor of the Corvallis Gazette Times. You'll also read his work inside the Albany Democrat Herald. Les Garrett, heavy down in Corvallis. Lots of Beaver football to talk about. Thanks for coming aboard.
Hey, Mike, it's always good to talk to you.
Well, I'll tell you, you've been right in the middle of it. And just before we went back on the air, we discussed it. It is a brand new regime, and it's a good word, regime. Jamarcus Russell has brought his style, his coaches, his way of doing things into the Beavers, and change is always good, especially if it's kind of an abrupt change in your life, because that can kickstart you in a very good way. I'm sure there's been tough times. I'm sure there's been the normal, hey, you're not putting out enough or whatever it is. But after 2 weeks of practice, what are your observations about Beaver football in general?
I think Coach Shepherd and his staff that he brought in, his first staff that he got to put together as a head coach, I think they've brought high expectations. They're very demanding on the players physically. The weight training and the conditioning has been very challenging, intentionally so. And they are just trying to raise the bar and change the page for Oregon State football. I think they've done a pretty good job of that. This is a team that was 2-10 last year, fired its coach at the midway mark of the season. Change had to happen, and Coach Shepherd has brought it.
When you see, you know, it's a different attitude. I've seen some of the video clips on television about how he talks to his players, and it's all good. The guy's a natural motivator. He probably motivates himself just to get up in the morning and when he looks at himself in the mirror. But he just seems like a natural, regular, easy, not an easygoing guy. I'm sure he's just high energy all the time. But what do you notice beyond just a different style in practice?
You know, he's brought in some guys with him that were at Alabama. Offensive coordinator Mitch Dolan is a first-time offensive coordinator. And I think fans, until you see how it looks on the field, I think a little bit of skepticism is warranted. It's always warranted because we haven't seen a Mitch Dolan offense yet here at Oregon State to see how it's going to look like. One thing he did also do, though, is he brought in a veteran coach. Everybody, I'm sure, remembers Mike McIntyre from his time at San Jose State and then in the Pac-12. Veteran coach, very solid guy, and just kind of just a steady hand to help run things alongside this kind of a very much younger-oriented crew. So I think it's a good mix that they've got, and practices have been interesting. We have less access under Coach Shepherd than we had under Jonathan Smith or Trent Bray.
That's a reduced accent?
I'm sorry?
Just reduced? They only give you so many minutes or so many days? Or
yes, exactly. So many minutes. Under Smith and Bray, we could come to training camp and we couldn't report on injuries or trick plays or anything like that, but we could watch the whole thing. And that's no longer happening under Shepherd. We get roughly 25 to 30 minutes a day to come in to observe on the days that are open to the press at all. And so we have less of a sense of how various competitions are going because we're not seeing the team, the 7-on-7 and team portions of the practices. Shepherd closes those. So we have a little less of a sense of who might be slotting in where, because we have not seen them in fully competitive situations in practice. So it's going to be a little bit of a surprise to us when they travel to Houston to see how they look.
Hey, we're talking with the Corvallis Gazette-Times sports editor, Les Garrett, who has been around with the Oregon State Beavers. He follows them in many different sports. You know, the offense lost its leading rusher, and Anthony Hankerson had just about 1,100 yards last year. Their leading receiver, Trent Walker, with over 800 yards, is gone. Now, we did get the Texas transfer, Aaron Butler, and an Alabama receiving guy, the transferred Aaron Hampton, in that portal, but neither has played much coming into Corvallis. What are you seeing in terms of how deep the running back room is?
Well, at running back, they brought in a transfer from Vanderbilt, A.J. Newberry. They are very impressed with him. Dahlin this week called him a home run hitter, and they have high expectations for him. And so they've got Newberry, but then they also returned Cornell Hatcher Jr. From last season's team here at Oregon State. He was Hankerson's primary backup. And in a lot of ways, Hatcher was more efficient and consistent than Hank was last year. He averaged 5.6 yards per carry, which is, there is nothing wrong with that. Hatcher runs hard. He's a sturdy fella. And so he and Newberry together, I think they're going to be fine at running back. As always, when it comes to the running game, it's going to matter, you know, what happens up front and if they can put a unit together that can block. But I think they're fine at running back. Wide receiver is an interesting situation because they have a lot of bodies out there. And like you say, Trent has been by far their most productive receiver. Trent Walker was their most productive receiver the last two seasons. He's gone, transferred out. And we don't know who's going to step in because there is a big competition going on for the top spots in that wide receiver room. Like you say, Bubba Hampton from Alabama, Butler from Texas, they've got Eddie Freehoff, the Prineville kid, who looks great at times in practice. And then they've got a freshman, Jesse Legre, who, man, people are excited about him. Everybody that watches practice comes away asking who number 12 is. And so keep an eye on Jesse as a true freshman to maybe be a guy that contributes right away. But they sure do talk him up a lot as a guy who makes plays.
Les Garrett from the Corvallis Gazette-Times with us here on the Sports Ticket. You mentioned the offensive line. That's where we probably, I know what you played, that's what I played, tackle and guard. And I want to know that, as they say, that's where it all begins. And we did have some dancing around last year was who was going to be good and who was not going to be good. And one of those things was, do we have a solid leader up front, like the center or a guard that's going to capitalize on things?
Well, that's a very good question. One thing we know for sure, Jamarcus Shepherd has gone on the record saying he loves Tyler Volton. Tyler is a Staten kid, and he's had some injury issues, hasn't always been able to stay on the field at Oregon State. He lost a lot of weight this offseason, between 35 and 40 pounds, really trimmed down. He's still an absolutely enormous human being, but he did drop some weight. I think that'll help his mobility, maybe help him stay on the field a little bit more. And Shepherd really loves him. So we know he's going to be out there. He's going to be a leader. What we don't know is what's going to happen at center. And this is one of those NCAA court situations that is dragging dangerously close to the start of the season. And we still don't know how it's going to play out. Bam Wells, the starting center for the Beavers the last couple of years, is one of the players who was seeking to come back for a fifth season, and the courts have swung this way and that way on the question. Today, it looks like players like Bam suffered a loss in the 10th Circuit Court that overturned a lower court ruling. So right now, it looks like Bam Wells and safety Jaheim Patterson, who's also looking to come back, are both on the outside looking in. Now, is this the last word on the subject? Probably not. But man, we're just barely 2 weeks from the start of Oregon State season, and it's hard to know who's going to be on the roster. It's just an absolutely wild situation. If Bam Wells isn't allowed to return They've got a transfer from Louisville, Carter Guillaume, who has performed well in the spring and in the summer. He will be the starting center if Bam's not able to go there. I think what they would love to have Bam back for an additional year, maybe slide Carter over to guard and give him a little bit more depth on the offensive line. But unfortunately, this is a decision that's not up to the Oregon State coaching staff. This is in the courts, and who knows how it's going to end up.
And we hope they find out soon enough. We're talking with Les Gareth, the Corvallis Gazette Times sports editor, who's got his fingers all around. You can read it. His stories up on, is it GazetteTimes.com?
GazetteTimes.com.
That's right. And there's a lot of great Beaver news up there. We've had enough to know that we kind of want to go to the next segment, but we have to stop pause for a quick break here, Les. I'm assuming that you'll be able to sit around for another 4 or 5 minutes with us so we can get on the defensive side and talk about something a little bit touchy about one of the defenders who was incurred last week. So I hope you'll be able to stick around.
Absolutely.
All right. With Les Garrett and Hunter, this is Mike Gallagher. We'll come back and talk more Beavers here on the Sports Ticket on 1430 KYKN.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Hunter Newton and Mike Gallagher on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket, this segment being brought to you by Bowenvine Burger Bar, right down there on South Commercial.
Getting hungry.
And we're continuing our conversation about the Oregon State Beavers.
And Les Garrett is still on the line with us here. Les, again, we thank you for extending it because, you know, with respect to our Ducks, and we are a Duck affiliate, we hear a lot about Oregon, and I'm excited about that, but we don't hear enough about Oregon State, especially when you've got a brand new coach and a new system. You've enlightened us on some things. Real quick, before we jump to the defensive side, tight ends. I'm a closet tight end lover. I'm just curious, what is the situation? How would they incorporate that into their offense?
Oregon State really likes their depth at tight end. In the spring game, the tight ends really stood out. The quarterbacks threw the ball a lot to the tight ends, and that could be a preview of things to come. They've got a couple of guys. They've got Gabe Milbourne back. Mm-hmm. He was a guy who's been in the system for a while, didn't play a whole heck of a lot, and kind of had a breakthrough year last year. Happy to see him get some opportunity. And then they've got a transfer tight end named Eric Olson, and he's another one of those guys that Jamarcus Shepherd really, really likes. So they like their depth there. They've also got another transfer tight end, a big guy named DeCorian Temple. They've got good depth at that spot. They should be okay at tight end.
And now we go to the other side of the ball, and the big news last week and even this week is your number one returning defender, the leading tackler from last year and probably a preseason All-American at some level, certainly preseason All-Conference. Your linebacker, he went and was arrested back in April, was released, recently arrested. Give us the story.
Yeah, evidently there was some sort of incident in April. An altercation with Aiden Sullivan and a couple of individuals. And we learned about it last week when news came out that he had been arrested in Benton County and charged with assault. And so we don't know how that's going to impact the team. We spoke with Jamarcus Shepherd about this on Monday. He declined to comment on any details, such as possible, disciplinary actions in the matter internally with the team. He wouldn't comment on that. He did say the team was doing its best to support Aiden to help get him ready to play. I don't think, unless some development happens in this case, it's unexpected. I don't expect this to keep Sullivan off the field this fall. I think a lot of people might be expecting, is he suspended for the first half of the Houston game or the entire Houston game? Those are the questions we have that we do not have answers to. Will we see him against the Cougars? I don't know. I guess that's one of the things we'll find out 9 o'clock Saturday morning, September 5th. I think most of us would be surprised to see an internal disciplinary action that extended much past that. In terms of the legal system, I don't know. No idea how this is going to play out. We'll just let that play out as it does and see what happens. I think there's often an expectation that with an individual like this, that, you know, no previous record or anything like that. And basically you basically call it a bar fight.
Right.
might end up with, you know, you make a deal and charges get reduced. But again, that's just speculation, and we'll see how that plays out.
Aiden Sullivan, one of the leading tacklers last year, played in all the games, 72 tackles to be exact. And again, he considered a team leader as well. All the coach said, and we use the clip here on the station, was he says, if I was held back in my life for every bad thing I ever did, he says, I wouldn't be coaching at Oregon State. He says, this is a live and learn moment. We'll see what happens, much like you said, and we support him. And that's where he ended it. So with him gone, when you look at the defense, what shines for you right now through a couple of weeks of practice?
Well, the good news for Oregon State is, yes, Aiden Sullivan is their top returning player, but he plays a position where they've got really good depth. They've got some guys. They've got Rajon Davis back, who was with the team a year ago, got injured, but he's back and healthy now. He started his career at USC, so he's a talented guy. Dylan Lane, a Portland kid, played 4 years at Idaho, came back here to do his fifth season. He is a talented kid, good in coverage, great team leader. They really like him a great deal. And then they've got a transfer from Duquesne who's played a lot of football, and he's got a name that's a little bit difficult to pronounce. Jabari and Amenemen, but they really like him. He's played a lot of football. He's got a great frame. They say he's good in coverage. So they feel comfortable about where they're at that linebacker spot. And again, I don't expect Sullivan to miss
more than a game.
I think expecting him to miss much time would be not realistic. He's not going to be out long, I wouldn't expect. So they're going to be set at this inside linebacker spot.
D-line?
You know, D-line's been a question for Oregon yep. State for the last couple of seasons. They have not been able to generate a great pass rush between the, you know, obviously you don't expect that to come from your defensive tackles, but between their tackles and their edges and their linebackers, the pass pressure the last couple of years has not been up to par. Last year was better than the year before, which was dreadful.
Yeah.
So that's a question we'll see. We'll just have to see.
Okay, real brief.
The defensive line, yep.
Real briefly on the defensive backs before we get to the Pac-12. Do we see anybody that's jumping out? I know this Kai Wheaton freshman, this Kenny Wheaton's kid is there, or nephew.
They are certainly talking him up. Now, he's still a freshman. They're talking him up. I don't know what that means. Does that mean – I don't think it means he's going to start.
No.
I think it means he might play. I think they're going at the corner spots. They'll start Trey Glasper and TJ Crandall at the corners. Glasper started last year as a freshman.
Right.
Crandall's a transfer from West Virginia. They're set there, but will Wheaton be in the rotation? I think so.
All right, the Pac-12, Hunter.
Well, Les, I'm wondering, what are the feelings around Corvallis of this new-look Pac-12? Because last year it was just Oregon State and Washington State. Now you've added Boise State, San Diego State, Fresno State, Texas State, Utah State, and Colorado State into the mix. So it's kind of, what's going to happen with these teams?
Mm. There's a realization. It's two-sided. This isn't the old Pac-12.
Mm-mm.
Washington, Oregon, USC, Arizona, they're not coming to town. The schools you just listed, they're coming to town. That's not the same, and there's no sense pretending it is the same. But it certainly is better than this limbo of the last 2 years with no conference title to play for, no real meaningful awards. Like I was a voter for the Pac-12 awards last year. Well, that's, you know, you got two teams.
Yeah, what's a lot to vote for?
what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do with that? So now they're back in the conference. It could be a good conference. It could be the best of the non-power fours.
Mm-hmm.
Boise State and even San Diego State could be teams that compete for a spot in the college football playoff this year. So this is way better than the last 2 years. It's not the good old days. Those have sailed, but it's better.
Well, I looked at it this way. Is you're now a group of six team, and the top team out of that group of six – they get that shot into the playoffs. So
right.
Realistically, this new look Pac-12 could eventually, maybe this year, maybe next year, have teams representing the conference in the playoffs.
That is absolutely their hope and expectation. I mean, and they really do. I mean, Boise State has got a shot at that this year. They're a load. They've got Maddox back at quarterback. They've got good depth on their defense. They got a couple talented running backs. They could be there. Sean Lewis is amping things up. down in San Diego State. They might be in the mix. This is definitely a conference that wants to compete for that college football playoff spot, and they want to establish themselves as the best non-Power Four conference. Teresa Gould, the commissioner of the Pac-12, has said that she sees the Pac-12 as kind of in a tier of its own. Maybe not Power Four, but not really wanting to embrace being part of what you might call the Group of Six. They kind of want to exist someplace in the middle, and we'll see if the results on the field warrant thinking of themselves that way.
And it all lies ahead and starts next weekend with Oregon State at Houston and then home against Texas Tech on the 12th. And Les Garrett, we want to thank you for being with us, giving us an open-eye view. And after a couple of games, we want to have you back on and get some more of your thoughts and what you're thinking. Maybe talk a little basketball, maybe some soccer. We'll see what happens. But I know that everyone's excited. Everyone wants this. I mean, unless you're just an anti-Beaver fan, you want them to get better. You want them to be competitive. You want them to have a good opportunity in the Pac-12. And I think they're going to start that with the new coach and what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for having me. It's a lot of fun.
You bet. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all right.
Well, Les, thanks again. And Hunter, you wrap us up and we'll go to that final segment.
Yeah. We got one more segment still to come before we turn over to the Mariners. You're listening to the Sports Ticket on 1430 KYKN.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Hunter Newton and Mike Elliger on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket, our final segment, before we turn it over to Rick Riz and the Seattle Mariners live from home.
Oh, yes.
The Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, that was, by the way, our thanks to Les again for coming in. He didn't expect to do two segments, but he had so much to say. We haven't heard much. I'm glad he came aboard. Thanks for enduring with us because it was good.
Yeah, no, I love hearing all that stuff, and I'm glad we had the time to go through it all because that's always a time constraint when you're talking radio. This segment being brought to you by Turner Pizza and Tap House, and we'll come back around to them in a few minutes.
Right,
but news on in Mariner Nation, they have called up Cade Anderson, the highly likely minor league baseball player of the year, the consensus best pitcher in minor league baseball. He went 10-1 at AA level this season with a 1.08 ERA. He's a former first round draft pick out of third overall in 2025. He was drafted at LSU. He's going to be starting on Saturday at home against the Chicago Cubs.
I'll tell you what, we need a kick in the pants there somewhere because that 122-0, I think everything, the wheels just fell off. The air went out of the tires and the common sense.
I think Julio threw it into the outfield bleachers.
Well, he did, and he caused two runs to score, but that was one of many miscues. Oh, plus, yeah. You've got position players that don't know how to pitch the ball, and they're serving up, batting practice.
Well, yeah, he gave up, 9 runs in one inning? It was kind of a disaster a few days ago. They came back and won the next day and, of course, lost to the Brewers in the series finale. Chicago Cubs starting tonight again. Matthew Boyd for the Cubs, Emerson Hancock for the Mariners. And, of course, tomorrow we get our first look at Cade Anderson. So I'm excited for that one.
Oh, I am, too. I'm excited for the Mariners to come home and get some wins because right now we got a little over a month to go until the season. They are still out on the edge a little bit for a wild card spot. But that's nothing that some winning more than losing will change. And the left-hander Anderson, again promoted from AA Arkansas. He didn't even stop in Tacoma.
No, good for him. I look forward to it. And that's kind of where you are with the Mariners right now. They are on the precipice. They are kind of a must-win scenario to get back into the playoff picture. Like we said earlier, they have a tough rest of August, but they have a relatively winnable September. So.
Yes.
They got to be in striking distance, but now's a great opportunity to give a guy like Cade Anderson the opportunity to show you what he's got at the major league level. And of course, my perspective is maybe you rest Cal a little bit, let him kind of regroup for a few days and see where this next couple of weeks takes you, because it's going to determine what your September really looks like in Seattle.
I think Cal is down in the mouth, and I understand why when you've got fewer hits than you had home runs last year.
Well, I'm sitting here looking at it. I saw a little thing the other day that Ichiro, when he had 56 hits in 1 month, had more hits in a month than Cal had this whole season.
And he's somehow struggling. They don't know what it is. All I can hope and pray is that he is able to pull himself out of it. But we've got big show next week.
Yeah, next week we are Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. We are at Turner Pizza. We're our 2026 football kickoff show. Jeff and the Tailgater crew will be talking Ducks between 5 and 6. And you and who knows, maybe some very special guest stars will be showing up to go 6 to 7. And then, of course, at 7 o'clock, we're going to turn it over to the Duck Insider. One of the reasons that Joey Mack can't join us.
That's true. Yeah, Joey is not able. He said he was sorry. He couldn't make it. Jerry couldn't make it either. But I have a feeling we're going to have somebody of note. We appreciate that's all coming up next Friday. Next different sports ticket.
Yeah, and trying to kind of finagle some high school representatives from Cascade.
We're finagling right now.
And see what we can make happen. One of those challenges, I think next Friday may also be kind of a jamboree.
Practices.
Practices and maybe some week zero games.
Sometimes
in the high school level.
Sometimes free pizza will change minds.
Well, free pizza always changes minds. Quality micro brews and the tap house aspect can change some adult minds. Yeah, there could be a lot of fun being had next week.
It'll be fun. We're excited to be there.
No, we are going to encourage everybody, come on out, see us, see what we're doing. Put a face to a name, because a lot of people wonder what we really look like.
We're all faces for radio. We're online.
At least we're willing to acknowledge it, Mike. All right. We're going to turn this thing over to Rick Riz in his farewell tour.
Going up for the game in a month when he has his farewell weekend. Mm-hmm. One of the kindest men in professional sports that I've ever met. He's just a regular guy. What you hear is what you get. He and Gary together are very good together. We're going to mix 41 years of Rick Riz. Oh, my God.
Well, I can just say within a year of his retirement at the end of this season, I fully expect there will be a statue of him sitting right next to Dave Niehaus.
On that scene. Yeah, I can't imagine him not doing it. Yeah. And he was there longer than Niehaus was. He's as beloved and maybe a little bit more. I don't know.
Well, growing up in Seattle, Rick Riz and Dave Niehaus is the voice of the Mariners.
And
this was before every game was on TV. And I listened to a lot of games on the radio.
Fly away, my oh my, and goodbye baseball.
That's right. All right. You're listening to Sports Ticket. Enjoy the Mariners game. Happy Friday. Have a great weekend.
Bye, y'all.
This has been the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Hunter Newton and Mike Elliger every Friday at 5 p.m. on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.